The scripture reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Don't you love that reading? His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How good is that? Let me say a prayer. Lord, we do pray to you, the Prince of Peace. We desperately need peace in our world and in our own lives. May we see it, Lord. May we be your ambassadors of peace in the world around us. We ask humbly that you'd speak to us in this moment. Lead us into a new place. Help us to see what you're doing in this world, what you're doing in our lives, that we might dispense peace, be advocates for peace, be peace bringers. In your name we pray. Amen. You might have heard the story of the little boy who decided to write a letter to God this Christmas. And he started out by writing, "Dear God, I've been a really good boy this year." And that's as far as he got. And because unfortunately he remembered that God was all-knowing, all-seeing, and he decided he couldn't lie to God. So he crumpled up that letter, threw in the bin, and started again. This time he wrote, "Dear God, I know I haven't done everything I should have, but I've really tried to be good." And he stopped, and he crumpled it up, and he threw it in the bin. And it was obvious, really, that he was struggling with what to say to God at Christmas time. And he started thinking, he was thinking hard, and all of a sudden he looked on the mantelpiece and there was his mother's favourite piece of porcelain. It was a porcelain sculpture of the Madonna, the mother of Jesus. And he had an idea, and so he ran to his bedroom, grabbed a towel on the way through from his bedroom, and carefully took the Madonna down off the shelf, wrapped it in the towel, put it in the shoebox, ran back into his bedroom, the high shelf where he hides all his secret stuff, and put it up on top there and some other things in front of it, and closed the cupboard door. Ran back to his table, got a new piece of paper, started writing, "Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again..." I love the laughter that people first get it and then the people second get it. I love that laughter. If you can remember it, you might want to tell somebody else that joke. Today, as you would have seen from the screen behind me, the Lego, the claymation that our young 12, 13, 14-year-old girls did of the story of Mary and the announcement of the angel. And that's what I want to talk about to you this morning, briefly. I've got a short sermon. It only goes for 75 minutes. If you've got your Bibles, could you open them up with me to Luke chapter 1? And we're looking at passage verse 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1 and 26 to 38. This follows on immediately after what we talked about last week, which was the story of Zechariah and the angel appearing to Zechariah. You could be forgiven for thinking as you read the first verse of this that this is a continuation of that same story, but it's not, of course. Something happens, something's changed, and so you see what God is doing in his expanding the kingdom and expanding the story. So the scene opened like it tells the story of Zechariah, but then there's this even greater miracle coming, and we read about this. So read with me, or have a look with me, from verse 26. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so you can see why you thought it was for Zechariah, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, most of us have heard these words many, many times, and they are read out at this time of year. We see them written on cards and all sorts of different things. And we are desensitized to the impact of what actually is happening and what the full meaning of the day and age would have brought. Here comes God engaging with us. We must not miss that. We hear this story, we picture it, you know, you can see it in Lego, you know, you've seen it this morning, pop, the angel comes out, and we miss the fact that here is God engaging with humanity, breaking the barriers, opening up the doors, going, here I am. I am coming to you. I'm relating to you. What a shocking reality when you think about it, that in our world, this world that we have marred, that we have broken, that is dysfunctional, that is violent, corrupt, filled with all sorts of depravity, here is God appearing to us, the announcement that God is not just turning up, but that God is living here with us. We can't miss that. That simple fact. Verse 28, that's what I want to have a look at. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. No wonder Mary was puzzled when she heard that. I'd been puzzled if an angel would have appeared to me and says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now again, we have heard this many times, and we do miss the impact of what's being said. Let's think about the context of the person the angel was addressing. Unlike last week, it's not a priest. It's not someone who has earned this faithfulness of God. It is not someone whom we know has already been told is righteous and upstanding. God doesn't appear within the angel to some A-list celebrity. God's not appearing to some princess, somebody who's earned the right to have this honor bestowed upon them. Far from it. God sent the angel to a young girl. Fascinating that that was the young girls that prepared that for us. And you might have seen the question that they put up there. Someone the same age as us? I mean, I don't know exactly how old Mary was, but odds on, 13 to 15-year-old. Think about that. 13 to 15-year-old, engaged to a simple carpenter who eked out his livings with his hands, no great assets behind him, not a nobleman. They lived in an insignificant town that was only really there because it was on a major trade route. So it was sort of like a nothing sort of town. In a very unimportant province in the huge Roman Empire. There is nothing about her circumstances and Joseph's circumstances that would have expected that they would lead a pivotal role in God's plan of salvation for the whole of humanity. And yet God turns up to this young girl. The problem is that with our veneration, our adoration of Mary, even though, you know, that's not our tradition, but we still lift her so high that we miss the whole social pecking order of what was going on here and the shocking, startling reality of what we are confronted with. In the culture of the day, she was incredibly low. Even her gender was against her. She was of no account. And we have to see the truth of what's being conveyed here, the fullness of what these words are conveying to us to understand the shocking reality of what God was up to in the world, dealing with this young girl. The other night, Susie and I watched a movie called The Blind Side. I got it right this time. Took us about four nights to finish it. It's quite a long movie. Some of you seen it? Oh, everybody's seen it. Man, I'm so behind the times, aren't I? The doctor ruined about 7 years of DVD watching for me, but that's all right. So the story, as you know, revolves around a large African-American kid who is homeless, taken in by a rather wealthy white American family. The long and the short of it is that the homeless kids become a rising star in the American football scene. And you get to see the struggle of how they fit it into the whole cultural expectations of the time. But there was something in that family. They saw a person underneath a stereotype and saw what he could become. They saw beyond what everybody else was seeing and saw to the heart of the matter. You know, in her day and age, Mary would have been considered in a similar light to that homeless African-American kid, seen as of no importance, as of little worth, no one of any great value. And what we have here is this great, incredible theme that runs through the book of Luke, that God uses ordinary, everyday people. God uses ordinary, everyday people. And God chooses to work this way. Here again, verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So here's my first point this morning. God even uses little people for his plans. God even uses little people for his plans. God uses those of no account for his plans. God uses those of the lowest pecking order for his plans. Remember, can you believe the economy that God has got going for his the way he works in this world? And it's this: the first will be last, and the last will be first. That even those of no account are important in the gospel. And this is a message that all of us need to hear over and over again, not just here in our ears, but here where it really matters, in our gut, in our understanding of who we are. For when we are at the bottom of the heap, when we are beaten down, when we are of no accord, when we are shunned, when we are filled with guilt, when we are looked over, when we are passed by, when we are told that we are of no value, that's when we need to hear these words to us. That God even uses little people for his plans. No one is exempt from his economy. Indeed, he chose as the vessel for his entrance into this world, as the way of salvation for all of us, a poor girl in an obscure town in a minor country. You know, you might be filled with self-confidence, think you've got it all together, think you've got it all sorted out, but there comes a day when that goes. And if it hasn't, it does. And there comes a day when all the information that you thought about yourself, all that positive self-talk does not come true. And there comes a day when all the potential that people saw in you, all the talent that others said that you had and they called it out of you, when all that comes crashing down as well. This is the day when we remember this. That God uses even little people for his plans. That God uses the people who think they are of no account for his plans as well. Let me tell you the second thing I want to say. And maybe you'll see why it's so important to understand that first one in the depths of your being. The second thing is this, and you know it well, and this is a cultural saying that sticks with us. It's this: from little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Have a look with me at verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Remember I said last week about fear, Christmas time? Here it is again. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary was as little as you can get. She's just a kid with a no-name town, no great prospects, no qualifications, no great opportunity, yet still God uses her. She had no future, and God creates a future. Just look at how the Bible describes the future coming out of this girl. Is it a shutdown? Is it no more plans for her? No. It's the expansion. It's driving forward, out. This is incredible. Worldwide future for her. Do you see what God was doing through her? And today, if we had more time, we could explore it and we could unpack it even further and we could say, look how God has done this over and over and over again. From little things, big things grow. Whenever I hear that phrase, I think of the Paul Kelly song. You know the Paul Kelly song? Yeah, great song. Tells the story of Vincent Lingari and his struggle as an indigenous man to get full recognition of his right to stand up, but of his ancient lands. Because of this one man's actions, important things were spoken about. Land rights became a national issue and some justice was brought. And we continue to talk about it now because of this one man. I was researching this for today and I saw some video footage of the 16th of August 1975. Prime Minister Gough Whitlam presented the land deeds to Vincent Lingari and then in that incredible symbolic act picked up that red soil and held out his hand and poured the sand into his hand to symbolise the return to country. From little things, big things grow. And this is something we have to grapple with and understand and get in who we are. Even though we are small and insignificant in the world's eyes, even though we are no worth in our own eyes and our self-talk puts us down, God takes us that little bit, that little kernel, that little tiny seed of faith and uses it for something wonderful. My friends, I want to say to you this morning, never despise the little thing that you have. Never despise the little offering that you bring. Don't despise the little that is inside of you and what God can do with that. I think Mary's last statement to the angel was one of the most powerful statements in the whole of Scripture. Look at verse 38 with me. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. How incredible is that saying? Do you sense that little bit of faith, just enough to believe that God had plans for her? And from that small, just that little poppy seed size of faith, God did something extraordinary. God would take her life, her insignificant life, from a nowhere land, and use her. My friends, this is exactly the same for us. And time again, God uses people who've had just enough. A little boy comes and says, "I've got a little bit of bread and a few fish," and Jesus uses that and 5,000 people are fed. Father breaking for his daughter comes and says, "Look, could you just say the word and heal my daughter?" And she is. A little vision that there could be a church in of all places, Flagstaff Hill Kindergarten. 30 years later, here we are, Seeds Church, having planted another church as well. There's a little group that gathers and have this vision. You know, what would it be like to show what Bethlehem looks like? And in a few weeks' time, thousands of people turn up and experience and hear the gospel, some for the first time. From little things, Big things grow. Someone shares faith. Someone's faithful and lives the way of Jesus and says, do you want to follow him? And someone else says, yes, I do. I do want to follow him. Our little things are enough for God. Your little faith is enough for what God is doing in your world and what God wants to do beyond your world. Our little things do make a difference. If you don't believe me, try walking with a grass seed in your sock, with a pebble in the bottom of your shoe. Try sleeping with a mosquito buzzing around the room. Little things make a huge difference, don't they? My friends, Mary is not just the mother of Jesus. She is a great, a wonderful encouragement to us, a phenomenal example. May it be to me as you have said. Her life points us to consider how God works in the world, that little people are of value, and that all sorts of things can happen, even to us.